Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we celebrate courage, determination, and the power of saying why not today. I'm your host, Leslie Kane, and in each episode, we dive into inspiring stories of individuals who have taken bold steps, faced their fears, and embraced the possibility of today. From entrepreneurs to artists, dreamers to doers, we explore the moments when they said, enough waiting, why not today? Join me as we uncover the heartwarming, the audacious, and the transformative, whether it's pursuing a lifelong passion, overcoming obstacles, or simply choosing joy. Our guests share their journeys and inspire us all. I started this podcast in honor of my father, Patrick Kane, who often said, why not today? Remember, you're just one decision away from changing your life. And our guest today is Saxon Reynolds, and I'm looking forward to hearing your story. And Saxon and I go way, way, way back before he was even probably a thought. So I always talk about connections and how we're connected. And so Saxon's grandmother basically helped raise me. She started when I was a little girl helping my mom with cleaning the house, or six of us kids. And then when my two youngest sisters were born, she really did raise my younger sisters. And just to share a funny story, you probably have never heard of this story, Saxon, but my parents were out of town and my brother was going to Catholic school. And your grandmother, Geneva, gets a call from the school. Chris had wrote a note to get himself out of school. And so he skips school, comes in the house, and Geneva's like, Chris, you're in trouble, as she only could say. And she vouched for him, though. She's like, I didn't call you out, but you're not supposed to skip school. But it was kind of funny that, he got called out by Geneva. But love your grandmother. And she's, as I said, she raised me too, and amazing lady. And I know she adores my youngest sister, Amanda. I think she's got some dementia and doesn't remember everything, but she definitely remembers Amanda.
Yeah.
So Saxon, tell us a little bit about you, kind of a little quick bio and a fun fact, and then we'll get into your courage and your courageous stories.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just I can't say young anymore, but I'm just a guy from Reston, born and raised in Reston. But I lived on north side of Reston, so I ended up going to Herndon. So don't boo me too bad.
I went to Herndon also. I grew up on the north side. And somebody asked one day, is there true there's two sides to Reston? I'm like, heck yeah.
Absolutely. So
the year I went to high school is actually the year South Lakes opened. Everybody on the Lakeian side, we still went to Herndon. I was very proud to go to Herndon. So nothing booing about that.
All right. So went to Herndon. Avid into football, basketball, all the sports, anything competitive, I would love to stick my nose into. Fun fact, as of recently, I continue to play football on the flag level. And that's kind of still like my passion. And secondly, I love cars, but football and cars, and that's
okay.
Well, everything.
Cool. And when everybody hears your story, they're going to be impressed that you're playing flag football, which I am. So we'll talk about your story in a second. So what does courage mean to you, Saxon? And has that changed in the last couple of years?
I don't really think it does far, but courage to me is just pretty much just getting up and just doing it. Like you said, you have the perfect podcast, like Why Not Today? And it's like, whatever you're thinking about doing, why not do it? I've kind of followed this kind of mantra of like, all the greatest things come on the other side of fear. So like, if you're fearing it, just do it, because you're going to have a great reward at the other side of it. So just go get it. There's nothing that should hold you back from doing it.
That's awesome. And that's so true. And yeah, that's the whole premise of this podcast, of just, you know, do the things. And as I mentioned often, I don't edit this podcast because I really want to encourage people just to do it. And doesn't have to be perfect. We just need to get started and do the small things. The guest that I had last week, we talked about, you know, courage is sometimes the quiet whispers. It's the little things. It's the small things. People think it needs to be that grand gesture, but it really isn't.
Right.
So it's the little things, but you've had to have lots of courage. And I really encourage guests, or invite guests to me on the podcast, that not just have a courage story, but can give people hope, permission, and are making a difference. And I really think you are. I've been watching you on social a lot, although your mom told me I should talk to you probably a year and a half ago, but wasn't sure where you were and your head was. And so, but let's talk about your courage journey. So your life totally and completely changed. You said July 2022.
Yes,
So
ma'am.
let's talk about what happened and what you've done and the road, the courageous road you've had. The why not today's.
Yeah, I mean, won't go in like full detail to it, but yeah, about coming up on 2 years from now, I was in a pretty bad motorcycle accident, that end up at the end of the day end up taking my leg, and kind of woke up to not having a leg.
Oh,
And
wow. So you were unconscious when they amputated your leg?
yeah, I was unconscious for almost about a week.
Wow.
So yeah, I woke up and still just really unaware of everything that was going on. So I was just hand gesturing and kind of just getting through things to kind of figure out like where am I, what's going on. And I really never knew what really was wrong, but I had a feeling something was wrong. I didn't know anything. Couldn't move or anything like that. But I broke the left side of my face, my pelvic, and then the worst one of them all, I lost my left leg, above knee, and
Wow.
my residual limb is fairly short.
Yeah.
And then, kind of going over everything, I just had to understand that life comes at you quick, and laying down wasn't really an option for myself. And getting up and fighting was something I wanted to do, and I didn't see there was no reason not to do it. And I'm like, why not fight today? And why
Yeah.
not fight tomorrow? So
So how long
it
were you in the
was just
hospital?
oh man, I was in the hospital roughly about 80, 90 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, it was
And
quite a long time.
was it an immediate like, I'm not laying down, I'm fighting this, or were there times that you're like, yeah, quite frustrated, didn't want to be courageous?
Right. I mean, I am always going to be honest with myself. Like, there's always some days it's like, this is really not okay, right? Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
But I always knew that, yeah, it might suck in that moment, but the outcome was still going to be the same. The outcome was I was going to fight. I was going to do something that someone else might think is hard, because I knew my story wasn't done yet. Because if it was going to be done, then it would have ended on that day.
Right.
So with that being said, I was just like, let's go get it. Like, there's no point of being upset with myself, no point of being upset with the situation. I was put on this earth for this reason, and this happened to me for a reason. So why not be a spokesperson for this? This is my new me. So let's get excited with it, and let's show people that someone in my situation can do things just as good as others, if not better, but also that it's cool to be an amputee as well.
I love that. I love that attitude. So, you obviously, because I've seen pictures and know you, have and I can't pronounce the word prothetic. No,
Oh,
I cannot pronounce this word.
prosthetic.
Prosthetic. Okay, I was trying
Yeah.
to pronounce it yesterday. My friend was laughing at me just like you did. So,
It's all
how
good.
quickly did you get fitted for that? Was it an immediate thing or?
Oh no, it's a very long process. But I feel like I got mine fairly quickly. I got mine within I want to say about 3 months after being home.
Okay.
So in total, roughly about 6 months after the accident, I was fitted for a prosthetic, and then the journey and learning how to walk again began.
Yeah, and how are you doing with
Depends on what day you ask. Like
it?
some
Still
days I'm,
learning?
yeah, some days I'm kicking butt, and some days it's kicking my butt. But it's fun. The challenge is great. I always my thing now is like the grind is the story they're going to tell. So like I keep getting it, trying to get better at it. And then the goal is still the same, that I'm trying to run, I'm trying to chase my kids down, and I'm trying to catch some more football series in the near future.
That's awesome. Not stopping you, huh?
No, just stopping is not an option.
Yeah, love that. So you said it's been fun. Tell us a fun story. Is there a fun story
I
of
mean, yeah. I mean, it's all.
your most entertaining, like you're on the floor laughing because you know, sometimes you just gotta laugh through
Oh
some
my gosh. Yeah. So, I mean, the most entertaining one so far that has just like, what does that really happen to me? I was actually in physical therapy. We're working out, which my physical therapist kicks my butt every time I'm in there. But we're in there, we're doing like toe taps. I'm tapping my prosthetic back and forth, back and forth. And then right after that, we were like, all right, cool, we're gonna transition to something else. And then I made a step and boom, I just fall over on the ground. And I'm laying on the ground like a, I don't know, like a dead roly-poly, just over there and losing it. And I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know what's going on. And come to find out, if I tap my prosthetic foot 3 times on the ground, it automatically goes into like limp mode, like bicycle,
Really?
free rolls, and it doesn't hold any weight.
Oh my
We didn't know
goodness.
that. We didn't know that. So I was just tapping away, and then it just tapped itself
Oh
pretty much
wow.
to, out of commission. And then, we had to carry my leg out to the car until we kind of put it back together and figured it out. But in moments like that, like again, I'm laying on the ground, don't know what to do, and just laugh at it and just like, hey, look, let's at the end of the day, you still gotta get back up, right? It doesn't matter how many times
Yes,
you
we do.
fall, you just get back up, you laugh at the situation, and then brush yourself off and get back to work.
Yeah, there's a leadership trainer, John Maxwell, and he talks about that if you fall, pick up the lesson as on your way up. Get back up, but pick the lesson up as you're falling or you're down. So what do your kids think?
They love it, like they kind of like it now that they can beat me in a race for once in their lives. So they kind of get a kick out of that. But then also like they know like it's a new me. Like I used to be their Superman, but now I still am their superhero, because I've got something different that no other dad that they've seen
I
so
was gonna
far had.
say, you're probably
So it's
pretty
kind of
cool.
cool. So it's pretty cool. I'm show and tell every day, or some a cool story they can tell their friends, like, hey, look, my dad has a robot leg. So it's kind of cool. And when their friends come by, we're outside, they're like, their friends get a shock out of it. My kids are so excited, but like, no, my dad's awesome. Like,
That's
so
awesome. How old are
yeah.
they now?
So I have three. I have 15, and I have 7 and 6.
How did 15? How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I still ask myself that question every day.
So the 6-year-old probably won't totally remember all of it, and just
Right,
that's all she'll know, she or he know you of.
yeah. He and she.
He,
Well,
okay. Well, that's all they'll know is you with the after your accident, not necessarily before.
right. Yeah, I mean that's one of those things that like is cool, but also it kind of gets me down every once in a while, because they didn't know or have the ability to be around me when I was the person before that, but they are getting to learn and grow with me, and we're going to grow up together with this person that I am today.
Yeah, and just watching you, I can imagine you're going to do amazing things, and that, you know, you've definitely have a heart. It looks like you're doing some advocacy,
Yeah.
and helping other people. And isn't, you know, taking obstacles, adversities, bad things, and turning around to be able to make a difference in somebody else's life makes such a difference. And that's one of the big reasons I've done the podcast. So I always talk about at the end, and we're not done yet, about the connections to my dad, but there are way too many connections. And I don't know if you know his story. So the logo of the podcast is an eye. My dad had an eye patch and a handlebar mustache. Did you know that?
No.
No. So he was a character. So the night he graduated from high school, he got in a severe car accident and was thrown out of the car 300 yards or feet, 300, 100, 300 feet, totally scalped him. He was supposed to play football for USC, all
Wow.
sports, and he was in the hospital, I think probably close to a year, 6 months to a year, lost sight of his eye in that accident. And so obviously couldn't play football. I guess he wasn't in the hospital that more than 6 months, because halfway through the year, he ended up going, instead of going to USC, he went, in those days, it was a long time ago, they were like, oh, instead of going to USC, go to Notre Dame. So my grandfather, they lived in California, my grandfather put him on a train and sent him to Indiana to go to Notre Dame.
Wow, okay.
So he had an eye patch my whole, like from high school on. So I didn't know anything different. So my dad just had an eye patch. You didn't think anything of it. He had no peripheral vision. So you just didn't leave cabinets open because he could hit them. And you got in big trouble if he hit his head on a cabinet door because he couldn't see it. He still played flag football. So similar to you. He never slowed him down. And then he at, in 2000, he had a major stroke, and they give you whatever that medicine is to stop it, or sometimes it doesn't work, and it didn't work for him. He was actually died on the table. They had to do brain surgery. He was in Newport News. They brought him back up here 10 days later. He was in intensive care for 2 or 3 months, and he had to learn how to walk again. He had left neglect, but he still walked and still came back strong. He would be walking around the plaza. He'd walk down to the plaza at Lake Ann, and he had those three-tiered cane things that he'd walk with. Well, he was very creative, and he got somebody to get him from a boat store the thing to put a drink on it. So he had a drink holder on his cane, and somebody one time tried to put money in it, thought he was panhandling.
Oh
Yeah, he was kind of a character. But even after his stroke, and he lived for 13 years later, and he wasn't the same person. Before he passed away, he was in a wheelchair the whole time, but he had very similar ideas. Like, he was on this earth for a reason, and he had something to teach, and he was not going to quit. And he's like, I have seven grandchildren that I need to teach and do things with. And so, he was not going to let it slow him down. That he had to learn to walk, as I said. And I remember going to therapy with him, and that's why I asked the laugh the, if you guys laughed, because we definitely laughed through some of that therapy session and all
Oh.
the things that we had to do. And he had to learn, I mean, he had to learn how to read again. He had to learn how to, so not just walk, but he had to do so many different things. I remember before they'd let him go home, he had to we had to practice him taking a shower, and I was there. I'm like, he has put shorts on. I'm not doing this. This isn't my dad. This is way too much. So, yeah, so many similarities. And yeah, we laughed a lot, and it wasn't, every day was not easy, but he had a purpose to live, and it sounds like you do too.
That's what I hope. That's what I
You
believe.
do.
So,
You're here for a reason. And
yeah.
through the grapevine, you got a lot of Pat Kane in you.
I
So
like it.
connected. So I know you start an LLC and have a business too, which I just found out about. So let's talk about that. What are you doing with that? You said it gives you lots of hope, and you're doing fun things with it.
Yeah. It's just kind of wearing it right now.
Okay.
It's just a clothing brand that
Just a
I.
clothing brand. Back up. Starting a business is not easy. Having a
Yeah.
clothing brand with a product is definitely not easy. So that's
Yeah.
pretty amazing. Did you start it prior to your accident or after?
I started it prior to the accident,
Okay.
but I wasn't like fully invested into it, kind of just something I did kind of on my spare time. But now I'm kind of locked in. I'm going all in on it. It helps me out. Definitely in the times where I weren't moving as much or weren't doing as much, it gave me something to do throughout the day, keep my creative brain juices flowing. So I kept going with it, and I like it. I like what it does for me. I like the ability to make someone else feel good with just a product of mine. And again, I'm just connecting people with something as small as a t-shirt or a hat. Or even like a sticker or a magnet, some other things that I do offer, but it kind of just helps. I know I love looking good and putting nice things on. So if my clothing could do the same thing for someone else, then it's a small smile that makes me feel good about myself.
That's awesome. And do you tie it into any nonprofit, or have you thought about that?
I have not. I have not. I mean, I'm open to everything. That's
Because that
probably a
might
bad
be.
thing, but I'm all in, all ears, any and everything that's
Yeah,
out
we might
there.
need to talk about that because I think there's some ways to connect nonprofits and grow both together.
That'd be great.
Because you have a mission now and you can make a difference and change people's lives. I can talk about it all day long, but I haven't lived it, you know?
Yeah.
You have something you've lived and people can see, and you, and really, as I say over and over, and I mentioned that I really want this podcast to give people hope and
Yeah.
permission and to say, okay, somebody may not have lost a leg, but they lost sight of an eye or an arm, or is it lost limb, missing limbs month?
No, it's limb loss and limb deficiency month.
Okay, limb
Or
loss.
difference month.
Okay,
Yeah.
so yeah, there's a month for everything, but giving people hope. And
Yeah.
it may be a little boy that's born that thinks I can never do this, or parents of a little boy that's born without a usable limb, that you can give them hope.
I mean that would be a small something small I'd be loving to do. If I can just say give someone just the courage, or at least someone to look up to like, hey, look what he did this, or he even tried this. It might not have
Yeah.
worked, but he tried it. Why not me?
And
Why not try?
even your kids and people watching, giving them hope that, okay, if you can do it and you don't have both limbs and you've
Right.
gone through this strategy, then why can't they do it? And
Right.
just giving people hope. And I think we need to do more of that in this world instead
I
of
believe so as well.
tearing each other down. Like, how can we lift each other up?
Right. Yeah.
I can see you helping the younger generation and making a difference, and like people looking up to you. My dad always said too that you just never know who's watching you.
Yeah.
And you just like, I was watching what you're doing on social. Your mom's like, oh, you should talk to him. I'm like, I'm gonna see what he's doing. And it
Yeah.
caught my attention. And so, people are watching. You just never know who's watching you and whose life you're gonna make a difference, and who might listen to this. So how would you encourage somebody else to be courageous, whether they're in your situation with a lost limb or just in general, like life?
I mean, it's just one of those things, you just kind of got to do it. And like you said, you never know who's watching. It could be your brother, your little sister, your cousin, your neighbor across the street, or maybe you're someone you're working with. If you're showing them courage and hope and willing to do something that they might not be willing to do, it might also give them a little kick in the tail to kind of get them motivated and moving. And I kind of what I go by, right? Because I, like you said, you never know who's watching, but I know the ones that are watching. And my goal is to never let them down, because I don't want them to think, I don't want that on my conscience, that I let someone that I know that's looking at me down. So I go hard every day just because I know who's watching, and those are the people that I truly go extra hard for, because I do not want to let them down.
That's awesome. I always say, when we put our head down at the end of the day, be a person that you're glad you did the thing instead of like beating yourself up. And every day is a new day. So every day is not going to be perfect.
Oh, absolutely not.
So we have good days and bad days, all of us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. And I guess this is your first podcast, so I'm honored that your first podcast and of many to come. So thank you for being our guest. Thank you, everybody else, for joining us on this inspiring journey. Remember, every day is an opportunity to take action, chase your dreams, and make a difference. So why not today? Remember, you can subscribe, share, keep pushing forward. You can find the podcast on all channels, and we do have the whynottodaypodcast.com website, and you can get Why Not Today t-shirts and cups and vinyls and stickers and all the good things. So until next time, stay motivated and keep making things happen. And remember, say, why not today?